I'm going to ask you right now to grab your Bibles and just open them for now to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, but before we dive into this today, go ahead and park there, by the way, Philippians 4. I have one more announcement to make. Today is a very sad day. I say it's a sad day because of what is actually taking place. What actually has ended. They're having a reception right now at 4 minutes after the hour in Paris. The meetings commenced this morning, 5 a.m. Pacific time. They ended shortly after 9 a.m. and there's a reception taking place right now of the representatives of 72 nations who banded together with the zeal and the excitement and the oomph that last week or a week and a half ago's UN Resolution 2334 afforded them, where UN Resolution 2334 condemned Israel's right to exist in its biblical, historical, archaeological land. And so riding that wave of euphoria, an international summit was called. And as I said a moment ago, they're enjoying their tea and martinis and cake and whatever they do there, snails, France, whatever. And they're celebrating. Why are they celebrating? Because as you will hear on January 21st, as I mentioned the other night, on January 21st, it will be confirmed to the world that UN Resolution 2334 was orchestrated, encouraged, and manipulated behind or from the curtain like Oz in Wizard of Oz by Barack Obama. It's his parting gift to the nation of Israel, which is no secret that he cannot stand. Especially Netanyahu, who he detests. And so Barack Obama has given the excitement of today's meeting in France. And the 72 nations that have gathered together, John Kerry being present today, one of the comments that was made by the representatives of the 72 nations is that this meeting was needed to take place before Donald Trump became president of the United States because we know that he would defend Israel. And so we must act now. Whatever you think about Donald Trump, my bar of estimation is starting to rise. If the enemies of Israel are in collusion together to try to destroy by breaking up the land of Israel, that's what the plan is about. I'll read it to you in a moment. To divide the city of Jerusalem in half and to divide up the land of Israel. And if they're saying that we've got to get this passed, we've got to get this together, and we've got to, now that it's gone through the UN, now we've got to get things underway, and we've got to do it quick before Trump takes office. If they're scared of Trump defending Israel, then apparently I voted in the right direction in this last election. He's not even president yet. And he's already convinced Courier to not go to Mexico with 1,100 jobs. And that's my understanding, though I'm not sure exactly about it. I understand that Ford Motor Company now has been talked out of relocating to South America by the Trump not yet administration. The guy's done more in a few weeks than... Pretty amazing. Look, I don't like his hair either, and I don't like his big mouth. A lot of people are saying all kinds of things about him. I told you the other day, we have to remember something. Be very, very careful. If you like him or not, in the sovereignty of God, God placed him as the president of the United States. And look, if he's in defense of Israel, he says he's going to defend the unborn, and then he's off to a good start, and he hasn't even officially started yet. But I've never seen anything like this, and I'm quite a political news junkie in my life. Let's put the first slide up. You guys, these are announcements. We still have the book of Philippians to do today, but look at this. Trump advisors tell French officials, we strenuously object to Paris Peace Conference. That's what they're calling it, a peace conference. The only problem is they spelled peace wrong. Look at it closely. P-I-E-C-E is the way it should be spelled. They're trying to take the land of Israel piece by piece. Not peace, but peace. We want peace in the Middle East. That's all we want is peace. This peace, and then that peace, and the other peace. I've never seen anything like this. Not since the days of Ronald Reagan, when the Ayatollah Khomeini in Iran was petrified because Jimmy Carter's days were limited. And Ronald Reagan said, they asked him, what's going to be your first act of business as president? And he said, I'm going to be getting our 400 hostages back home. That's what I'm going to do. Well, how are you going to do that, Mr. President? He said, I'm not going to tell you, but they're going to know. And within an hour before Reagan was president, guess who was free coming home to the United States? Listen, already this presidency is having an influence on Middle East policy. But today's a sad day, and make no mistake about it. The United States is the architect of UN 2334. And what that has done is that it has demanded that Israel give up portions of its land and divide the city of Jerusalem. You say, well, Pastor, I came here to church today for Bible. I understand that. This is Bible. The Bible literally says that in the last days, God is going to enter into judgment with the nations of the world. Zechariah chapter 12, Joel chapter 3, Amos chapter 9. God says, Ezekiel 36. God says, I am going to judge those nations who have divided up my land. Now, if you're an astute Bible student, you're saying in your mind, wait, that's a prophecy where God judges the nations of the world at the end of the tribulation period. When Christ returns, he judges the nations of the world for how they dealt with Israel. That's true. You're 100% correct. If that's what the Bible says, and it's true, it does say that, and if we're watching the United Nations begin to divide up the land of Israel and Jerusalem, then listen, it doesn't take an Einstein to put one and one together and realize pieces are falling into place. You are sitting in history today that the world would gather together and the United States no longer defending Israel but abstaining from helping. It's as though America is watching Israel bleed and everybody else is coming to pounce on Israel and America does nothing. Who's complicit in the attack? America. You want Bible? The very same God who told us about these things is the very same God who said, my son Jesus came to die on the cross for your sins. That if you trust in him and believe in him, all of your arrogance, adultery, pride, filthy thinking, selfish actions, your very sin itself would be forgiven. If you go to him, because he died there to pay that price that you could never pay. And then 3 days later, the Bible said he rose again from the dead. Why? Because he's God in the flesh. He was perfection in humanity, meeting the demands of the law. The grave, as it were, reached all around him and couldn't hold him in it. Amen. Think about it. The grave grappled and struggled and reached, and as though Jesus was Teflon. In a sense, he was spiritual Teflon because he was sinless. The grave couldn't hold him, the Bible said. And on the third day, Christ was risen from the dead according to the scriptures, giving you absolute promise and guarantee that God keeps his word and will take you to heaven if you trust him. That same God said that in the last days, nations of the world will gather against my people. Listen, my people who, he says in Ezekiel chapter 36, that I've brought back from all the nations of the world. He says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, surely I've spoken in my burning jealousy against the rest of the nations and against Edom, who gave my land to themselves as their own possession with wholehearted joy, and they spitefully and with spiteful minds in order to plunder my land. Therefore, prophesy concerning the land of Israel and say to the mountains and to the hills and to the rivers and to the valleys, thus says the Lord, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and my fury because you have borne the shame of these nations. God is about to act. God's about to move. Open up your Bible, turn on the news, get ready. Something big is up. In the book of Joel, chapter 3, God says, for behold, in those days and at that time when I've brought back the captives of Judah in Jerusalem, that is from all the ends of the earth, by the way, then all nations will be gathered together, and I'll bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage, Israel. This is 3,000 years old, whom they have scattered among the nations, and they've also divided up my land, and they cast lots. Gamble. Imagine, they've cast dice for my people. Today in Paris, 72 nations were casting dice on Israel, on her back. This is an amazing thing because, listen, when God decided to come to earth, he didn't come as a Canadian. He didn't come as a Parisian. I know it's hard for us to figure out. He didn't even come as a Californian. Isn't it funny? Listen, God, the God of the universe, God, the creator God, the God that is all that there is. Isn't it amazing? Think. Even if you are just a profound skeptic this morning, will you think for a moment, ask yourself this question or answer to yourself this question. What is the most persecuted people group on the face of the earth in human history? What is the most constantly attacked group of people on the planet all the time? More nations regarding warfare of any type. Israel. By the way, appreciate this, but even that, there's a piece of land that has seen more warfare on earth than any other acreage on the planet to this moment. I'm curious if you know where it is. It's in Israel. It's called Megiddo. You know it as Armageddon, the Megiddo Valley. Isn't that interesting? There's been more warfare there than any other place on earth. What do you think? Is that a coincidence? Do you think it's a coincidence that the God of the universe came to earth as a Jew? Why did he do that? Now, according to the Bible, he says he picked them because that they were the more feeble and least of people upon the earth. And here we are today in the 21st century, and history is being made as we sit here, because this is what France has been discussing. Got some of their notes. You can get their notes online, by the way. You can go to the UN, which, by the way, a couple of months ago, the UN decided that Israel has no archaeological rights to the land, to the Temple Mount. Now, you've got to either be insane or diabolical. Yeah, or both. To believe that. Look, I've been there a lot, ladies and gentlemen. We've been to archaeological digs. People have been digging around Israel for thousands of years, right? Every time you put a shovel in the ground, you dig up some Israeli coin from some millennia. But no, it's not their land, really, according to the United Nations, or if Israel affectionately calls them the United Nothing. That's what the UN stands for, UN, United Nothing. The conference in France is to see to it that the Palestinian state is created, and Israel is demanded to withdraw back to its 1967 borders, as the United Nations does not recognize the victory of war that Israel wrought in 1967 in the infamous Six-Day War. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know anything about that war? Six-Day War. Israel was celebrating its high and holy days, and they were attacked by their Arab neighbors. Without provocation, Israel was attacked. Israel instantly mobilized and went to battle. Soldiers, citizens ran out of their homes, ran to their tanks, ran to their planes. Israel was most certainly going to be destroyed. But as modern history shows us, you never mess with Israel, because every time you attack Israel, they win and their land gets bigger. And that's exactly what happened. They wound up defeating the invading enemy, and they wound up pushing them back, and then they wound up setting up more of their ancient borders. By the way, get used to it. There's going to be a day coming when Christ Jesus, the Bible says, will establish their borders that are promised. And let me tell you, Barack Obama said, we want Israel to go back to its 67 borders, the old borders. And I said then, and I'll say it again, why stop in Israel's old borders of 1967? Let's go back. Let's go way back. No, 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 Barack Obama. Let's go way back. You want to talk about history? Let's go back. Let's go back to when God spoke to Abraham and promised the land to Israel. And he said, it's going to go all the way up, just south of Turkey today, all the way over to areas of all of Iraq and Persia, all the way down near parts of Saudi Arabia, down to the Sinai. You want, hey, listen, today, if Israel took hold of its actual borders promised to them by God, it'd be World War III. But they'd probably win that too. But here's the deal. Only when Christ returns will those borders be established. But right now, we've got Bible prophecy not being fulfilled. I want to be very careful about that. I'm not saying Bible prophecy is being fulfilled today. I'm saying today, there was a massive, epic leap forward or closer in Bible prophecy. The stage has been being set since May 14th, 1948. But today was a dress rehearsal. As these nations ganged up on Israel and they said, you've got to go back to your 67 borders, which in some parts of Israel will only put Israel at an area about 9 miles wide. A European reporter says the nations of Europe are banging the nails into a coffin that will actually begin the disintegration of what once was a Christian Europe. I believe that. Europe is over, in my opinion, as of today. Why? Because the UN Resolution 2334 that's given birth to today's actions and architecture accomplished by the Barack administration answers to the Islamic Arab nations' demands. So much so that today's resolution and argument is demanding that the United Nations partnership nations stop all trade with Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, that's an act of war. Did you know that? That's an act of war when you cut off trade with a nation. It's economic war. The conference directed at peace and the establishment of peace in the Middle East has brought together a quartet of leaders, United Nations, the United States, European Union, and Russia. These five permanent members of the UN Security Council, USA, Russia, UK, France, and China, amongst the G20 nations, and the rest of the European Union, Arab partners, and assorted well-wishers, state our goal that Israel has no biblical or religious right to their land based upon those sites or statements. Quote, to facilitate the establishment of a Palestinian state in the middle of the promised land is to bring peace to the Middle East. This actually pushes the Middle East on the brink of the Third World War. any reluctancy by the Jewish state will be viewed as taking warlike measures, and international boycotts, sanctions, and punishments will treat the state of Israel as a pariah. Number one, goal. Divide the land of Israel into two states, Israel and Palestine, so that peace may be achieved. That's right out of the Bible. Listen, nobody knows who the Antichrist is, but I bet you he's alive now. That's exactly what the book of Daniel chapter 7 talks about. He's going to promise peace and prosperity to Israel and the Middle East neighbors. This was written over 2,600 years ago. Divide up the land. Now, if you're a skeptic, and I appreciate you, but think about it. Here we are reading today's news happening now, demanding Israel divide up the land, and the Bible has been anticipating this day. What do you think about that if you're a skeptic? Concerning all Jewish construction of homes, there must be a ceasing of construction in the Jewish quarter of Jerusalem's old city based on UN Resolution 2334. We covered that a few weeks ago. Jewish building of homes across the Green Line is equated as being part of a terrorist act. Listen to this. And does this not fit into our modern age? The United Nations is asking Israelis to disavow their own government if they reject the UN resolution to comply. The United Nations are asking Israelis to commit anarchy against their government if their government doesn't obey the UN. This is hard to believe. Again, the Israeli government is to stop all building upon any land that was taken from the June 1967 Six-Day War. I have awesome old homes that live in those areas. You know, I think about that. Can you imagine? What if this is not stopped somehow? I don't see how it's going to be stopped, but imagine. Those of you who've seen old World War II footage of Europe, do you remember when the Jews were in their homes and in their shops and the SS officers came and pounded on their doors, kicked down their doors and drug them out into the streets, put the Star of David on them and marched them off? Can you imagine now people are going to, there's going to be knocking on doors. You got to get out. This is land taken in 1967 war. You got to get out. Get your possessions. Go. Let's go now. Listen, you say, that'll never happen. Yeah, I think people said that about Hitler too. Wow. This is crazy. And yet, God's on his throne. Listen, you know what? Can you imagine? If you could see with your eye the spiritual atmosphere over Paris today, can you imagine the black, dark, demonic forces at war in the minds and the actions of men, and then angelic angels at war over the mind and the thoughts of man? And then can you imagine just, if you ever wondered, where's God? Where's God? Well, according to the Bible, according to God's nature, he's everywhere. But if you could point a pin right now on your GPS, on God, where are you? And then drop pen to see where it lands on your Google map. It would land in Paris. That's where God is today. He's right there like this. You know he's watching? He already said a long time ago, if you bless my people, I'll bless you. You curse them, I'll curse you. God said that. And America's leading the way. 5 days. 5 days are left in an administration that has done everything but hand Israel a map or a rope to hang itself. 5 days. In these last few weeks, the true colors have been coming out. 5 days are left. What's going to happen in those 5 days? I don't know, but listen, as an American, as a Christian, not in that order, I'm a Christian first, then I'm an American. Listen, here's the deal. Make no mistake about it, Christian. Your sins were judged at the cross. Do you understand that? You will never be punished for your sins. Jesus took that upon him. But let me tell you something right now. As national judgments go, we are going to suffer. Daniel was a holy, righteous man, but he suffered under the tyranny of his nation's sins. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, go down the list. Christian, you're not exempt from the judgment that's coming to this nation for how our leaders have treated Israel. Zach, is that really going to happen? I like what Billy Graham said. Billy Graham said, if God doesn't judge America, he's going to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, that ain't going to happen. This is very serious. Today, January 15th, 2017, of all days on a Sunday, they just couldn't wait to do this. They had to even do it on the Lord's Day. Let's go after Israel. You're living history today. Your living prophecy. This is awesome. If Israel agrees to these points put forth, Israel can also expect security, stability, and prosperity. Did anybody not hear me? Number one, this is Europe speaking. Let's talk about the stability of Europe. Don't worry, Israel. We can't take care of ourselves. We don't have any borders. There's rapist maniacs and terrorism's gone up 500% since we received these refugees that are actually hidden away in a Trojan horse, it turns out, after all, and they're ISIS members. But don't worry. We'll stabilize you guys. Let's talk about security. It's safe in Europe. Really? Really? Have you seen the commercials on TV? Did you know you can go to England? You can go from Los Angeles to London right now on British Airways. I think it's for $600. You want to know why? Ain't nobody going. You want to go to Paris for vacation? Are you kidding me? Germany? Germany, where undocumented young Arab men have been committing, well, they used to be called crimes, but they're declaring sexual emergencies. And they are raping people. Did you know? Call your German and Dutch and call your Italian friends that have blonde hair and ask them what color they're dyeing their hair. The women in Europe are dyeing their hair black because Arab men prefer blondes. And rape has gone through the roof. And Angela Merkel is about to pay the price for that. This upcoming election in Europe, the Europeans are going to be throwing out, I hope, these officials who have let this Trojan horse in. My point is this. This is what's terrifying. Europe is saying, we'll give you security and stability to Israel if you just bow. Sound familiar? Oh, just bow before this great, great statue of Nebuchadnezzar and all will go well with you. And then they say, you bow and we'll give you prosperity. Ladies and gentlemen, that might be the funniest thing of all. Europe is so absolutely bankrupt. It is broken. And Israel's economy is one of the strongest in the world. What in the world is going on? I'll tell you what's happening. Nothing's falling apart. Nothing's caving in. It's all coming together. These are amazing days. And I pray, listen, I pray that this church, that if you attend this church, you're not missing the prophetic ramifications and significance that the stage is being set, and the author of the stage is just about ready to walk on. This is absolutely remarkable. Remarkably, the Arab coalition was able to insert into this that it is the Western world's complicity that has made Israel great. The West needs to back away from Israel. That's interesting. And they admit that a Palestinian state cannot arise without international pressure being placed upon Israel. It just goes on and on. You'll be reading about it if you care. Unfortunately, today, I don't know how many of you even know about this stuff, but it's not much on U.S. news. I've encouraged you before, you got to get your news outside this country. There's just, there's monumental things taking place, and I'm wondering, you got to step back and just wonder, what is going on? In the sense that none of us, if you think about what they said earlier in one of their opening statements, that we need to get this done before Trump takes power. Doesn't it just cause you to just be a bit curious? Can you kind of do that with me? Can you get past his hair in his mouth? Can you just do that for a moment? God uses strange people. Okay? Because if the other candidate would have been elected, we know exactly where she was going to go. She didn't make it a secret. I'm not making this up. I'm not bashing her. I'm telling you, she already played her cards on that. And the election went a different way. We have a little bit of an opportunity right now. We need to really tell people about Jesus. Listen, don't tell them about Bible prophecy. They're not going to get that. He's like, what? Yeah, did you know that Joel said this and Ezekiel and this and Daniel has got 10 toes and this statue and it. Listen, that's later. Tell them, get to the point. Tell them, listen, wow, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world, isn't there? Yeah, you know what's going on in France? All that stuff about those nations? Isn't that funny? They're all against Israel. Hey, did you know the Bible says that in the last days, the nations of the world will be against Israel? Did you know the Bible also says that Jesus died on the cross for our sins? Did you know that's all about him? It's all about Jesus coming. That's how we know the New Testament's true. Did you know that? Well, we don't read the Old Testament. That's what's wrong with you. Well, we don't study it. It's long. It's more than 144 characters. Listen, you want to not get messed up in the world? You want to not get led astray? Read the Bible, God's Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. Listen, you don't even know. You don't even know if the New Testament's true. You can't know if it's true. There's no way to know the New Testament's true unless you compare it against the old. How do you know? How do you know there was supposed to be a baby born in Bethlehem? How do you know that Mary was supposed to have a little lamb and his name was going to be Jesus? How did you know that? It's all in the Old Testament. Listen, when people say today, Israel's false, it's not a real nation, God gave up on the Jew, it's all over. If you only read portions of the New Testament, you might come up with that conclusion. If you read the whole New Testament, you wouldn't. But I can guarantee you this, there's a lot of people, I'm not going to name their names, there's people in pulpits that are saying Israel is not real. In fact, I just had a thought. Israel is real. Boom. Right? My gosh. I mean, that's just God in your face, isn't he? Is not Israel. Wearing his shirts made up with that one. Yeah, listen, know your Old Testament. You'll know what's going to happen. Listen, you know what's happening next if you know your Old Testament. And the same God that made all those amazing promises is telling you it's all about Jesus. Stop letting CNN or Fox or NBC or anybody else dictate your theology. Let the Bible dictate your theology. And by the way, don't you and I dictate theology to the Bible. The Bible dictates theology to us. The Bible tells us what's up. And so you and I are living in amazing times. The Bible tells us that when Jesus Christ returns, an interesting dynamic of situations would have had to been played out for Christ to return. I'm talking about the second coming. According to the Bible, Old and New Testament alike, Jesus Christ will come back after the nations of the world have ostracized Israel from themselves. But we see the stage being set for that today. The Bible says that when Christ comes back in his great second coming to establish his kingdom, there'll be a rise of a great political leader who will have two particular political talking points. They've been the same talking points of politicians throughout the ages. Never changes. I'm going to bring you peace and prosperity. And the book of Daniel tells us that the Antichrist will come offering to the world peace and prosperity. The Bible says he's going to arise out of a time where there's great, great confusion and great peril. We know, and we mentioned this recently, we know that the Bible says he arises and implements a financial system that works. The Bible says that he will command his economic advisors and system of operation to be based on no currency at all, only numerics. Talked about that on New Year's Day. The Bible says he's going to arise out of Book of Daniel chapter 9, Book of Daniel 2, Book of Daniel 7, chapter 11, that he'll arise out of what once was the ancient Roman Empire, Europe, a leaderless, bankrupt, broken Europe. I submit to you today the stage is well being set. Oh my goodness, I heard this week at Stratfor. I don't know if any of you are members of Stratfor. The latest estimates now by national security agencies of Europe and MI6, MI5 and MI6 out of London is that they are convinced that there's 1 million Islamic soldiers in Europe now since the refugee crisis has begun. 1 million. Unless there's a miracle in Europe, Europe's over. You have a citizenry that's predominantly unarmed, and they're sitting ducks. Could something break out in Europe? Could there be mayhem? Could there be a great, great breakdown in culture where they look for a leader? The Bible tells us that before Jesus Christ comes back in his second coming to establish his kingdom, men's hearts will grow cold toward other men. Listen. The word is agape. The love that should be there in a man's heart to better his fellow man will leave him. And the Bible says the result of this is lawlessness will abound. Lawlessness. I'm not saying we're seeing the fulfillment of the Bible right now. I'm saying we're seeing the stage set right now. Maybe we all ought to take a field trip and watch how they do that, you know? When's the last time you're in a when you went to a play. Don't you try to cheat, by the way, when you go to a play? Cheap play, anyway. A cheap one is when you're kind of looking when it's dark and you can kind of see people moving behind the mesh, the screen. What are they moving up next? What are they moving next? I sat in a theater, 1885, in London, England. We were there, saw for the first time Les Miserables. It had been playing there for nearly 50 years. Because of the age of the theater, which was incredibly beautiful, but because of this, the way it was set up, you could kind of spy on the stagehands as they set up for the next scene. Through the dark, you could still see enough to know the next scene is going to be a street scene. You can see they're setting up these barricades. Oh, I know that part of the book. That's where they're going to have that riot that's going to break out. And then the curtain opens up, and there you go. And then when that portion plays out, the screen goes down, and you can see them moving things around again. Ladies and gentlemen, today's an epic day. I want you to mark it in your diary or in your Bible. Today, January 15th, Sunday, 2017, a stage scene has been changed today. And I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet, but from this moment on, this is a game changer. Things change from here on out. And if you're still a doubter, imagine this. Here we are 21 centuries later since the coming of Christ. 3,000 years since many of the prophets. And we're watching in the news the topics and the issues of Israel and Jerusalem. I don't know how you cannot believe. How can you not believe? The Bible tells us that before Christ comes back in the second coming, there'll be an increase of natural disasters in the world. And there will be nations not only talking about going to war, he says there'll be wars and rumors of wars. On a grand scale, Jesus said this. All of those things he said, listen, they're going to increase. But this morning, we're believers. We trust him. We know him. At some point in time, before all those things are fulfilled, according to Bible prophecy, he must pick up his church in what is called the rapture. The last 7 years must be church excluded. Theologically, the 7-year tribulation period. You say, what are you talking about? The Bible says that this leader that I was mentioning to you earlier, he will get a contract. He'll engineer a contract. The Bible says it's for 7 years. And it will be with Israel and its neighbors. Does Israel need peace with its neighbors right now? Isn't it amazing? And he's going to engineer it. And it seems as though part of that agreement, there may be that he allows the rebuilding of the Jews to have a temple. The Jews want a temple in Jerusalem. Did you know that? So here's your homework for today. Find out if there's anybody preparing for a temple in Jerusalem. Go find out. Go, listen, take me seriously on this. Write it down. Google this. Not now. I do that and your heads go down. You can just Google this. Temple. Blue, the color. Snails. They're looking for the blue, for the priestly blue. It has to be a certain blue. Look up red heifer. That used to be. Listen, I'm old enough to be a Christian when Israel first got the first red heifer back after thousands of years. and now they have a bazillion of them. Isn't that interesting? There has to be a specific heifer that is used. It's got to be burned in such a way that the ashes of it sanctify the implements for the temple. Oh, look up menorah for the new temple. It's already been built. The priesthood, DNA. Go look that up. They just don't have permission to build it. I'm wondering if this guy comes on the scene and says, all right, here's what we're going to do. Half the city's divided. And here's the bone I'm going to throw you. You can build your temple on this side. You can do all your kosher stuff on this side. And then on this side, you guys can do all of your Quranic stuff on this side. And the Bible says the world is swooned with his brilliance. The Bible says they will love him. Listen, you know how specific the Bible is? The Bible says the world will love him so much they will send gifts to one another regarding him. Isn't that weird? He's so wonderful here. Here's a Nordstrom's gift card. Isn't that weird? Oh, happy Antichrist Day. Here, here's $666. That's sick, huh? I'm thinking now in my mind, deviled day, deviled egg, Antichrist Day. The Bible says they're going to love him. The Bible also says that there's going to be an assassination attempt on him. The Bible says he's going to appear to be dead. I'll give you a guess. How many days does it say he's going to appear to be dead? The Bible says he'll be brought back. But it says that his eye, his right eye, will be withered. Isn't that interesting? He's going to survive. He's going to look like, it's going to be a mock resurrection. Satan cannot create anything. He just knocks everything off. He's like those bad companies that try to do the Gucci deal. Or the Rolex watch and the hand falls off. You know, it's like, what? And imagine behind a man, because this is where it all comes down to. What in the world is going on? Men are like game pieces on a board game. There's a lot at stake. It's no game. There's a lot at stake. The souls of men and empire is the reward. An empire, an eternal forever empire of souls is at stake. Satan, who you have no idea, you may be a very bad person, but you don't know him. None of us know him, thank God, and none of us will know him. You can't know a liar, anyway. The Bible says he's the father of all lies. But no human being, imagine putting Mussolini, Hitler, Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden, Hitler. Oh, am I now, be nice. No, I'm talking really, really, really demonically driven people into one person. Can you imagine all those people put into one person with turbocharged hate is nothing compared to the hate that Satan has for your soul. He hates God with a perfect hatred. Satan hates him. We don't even know what that is. And he hates God to a degree that the only thing he can do now, because he's been damned, and he's got just but a little time, the Bible says, is the only thing I can do. There's still one thing I can do. If I'm going down, I am going to do better than mess things up. I am going to go after those pathetic imbeciles who he made in his own image, who he loves so much. How can I go down big? I'll go down I'm going to grab and blind and deceive every one of those he loves to the best of my absolute demonic ability possible, that the only thing left for me to do is to inflict pain in the heart of Almighty God and let him suffer on that, because I know his nature. His word says he weeps over the death of the wicked. So that's where I can get him. And that's where he comes after you. Get you to think all kinds of thoughts. Make you feel it. Have you do it. Believe in anything, no matter how close it is to the truth, as long as it's not the truth. Just enough to get you off. And then he'll just wait. Like a patient fisherman, he'll wait. There's an epic battle taking place, and there's an empire of souls that are in the balance. His hatred knows no bounds. And yet, God, the victim of the world's most perpetual, ongoing, continuous PR scam and smear campaign, right? God, earthquake. I saw that big sinkhole somewhere where that the sinkhole opened up and swallowed those people. Can you imagine walking down the street? You're gone. And then they said, it was an act of God. He gets blamed for everything. And you kind of mitigate it a little bit. I don't believe in God because people are weird. No kidding. I don't believe in God because church is a bunch of hypocrites. Yep. Well, I don't believe in God because all they want is your money. We don't want your money. God doesn't need your money. Well, I don't believe in God because I had this weird cousin, parent, grandma. Stop. You just stop it. That God that you're kicking against is the one that is saying, open your eyes and look what's going on. How much obvious does this have to get? I'm the same one that promised you eternal life if you just trust in me. We prayed at first service, during the meeting at first service in Paris, that God would frustrate and confuse those that were in the meeting. I see on a news line that the Palestinian Authority does not understand what good came out of the meeting. Well, that's good news. Thank you, Lord. Do you know Jesus? Do you know the real Jesus? Excuse me, let me back up. Do you know the Jesus Christ of the Bible? The Jesus from Genesis to Revelation Jesus? Do you know the Jesus who alone can save you, not you yourself? Because if you don't know him, you're going to see some amazing things in your lifetime, and it ain't going to be good. I want you to know him. We want you to know him. He loves you. All the junk that's gone on in your life, he may not have caused it, but he'll use it to get your eyes open. Don't refuse him anymore. I tell you what, man, with what's going on, if we're here next Sunday, right? Or if we're here by Wednesday, we'll worship again. But I'm telling you, man, no man knows the day or the hour. That means it could have happened a minute ago. The Bible says when Christ comes for his people, the trumpet will blow, the blast will be heard. There's going to be a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And those who have died believing in Jesus, their bodies are going to pop out of the ground. I don't know how that's going to look or if we will even see that. But the Bible says that he will bring their spirits with him when he comes. And we who are alive and remain at that moment, the Bible says, we will be taken right up off earth Oh, man. He's like, what, are you kidding me? That's crazy. Yeah, I know. I know Hollywood can do movies that happen, that kind of stuff, and you think it's cool. Truth is, God's going to do it. Amen. God's going to do it. Did I say we're going to get into the book of Philippians? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, that... Wow, I mean, I'm just so grateful I have a Bible, first of all. It's all hacked up, marked up. It's all scribbled on. And today's one of those days where we put right down here again, in Ezekiel chapter 36, stage set again, January 15th, 2017, UN knuckleheads. At it again. Your eternal word, your great truth, never has failed us, never will, always spot on, because you're the God of the future. You're the God that erases the past. You're the God that's with us now. You're the God that forgives. You're the God that makes new. You're the God that will hear right now anyone who will say, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, wash me. Jesus, cleanse me. Be this real in my life. Oh, God, be real in me. Make me a follower of Christ. And Father, we thank you, Almighty God, that as your people, live or die, to live as Christ, to die is gain. Live or die to the glory of God. Thank you. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.